May we be helped to commence our evening service by singing together hymn 688, hymn 688, tune St. Polycarp 405. Ye that pass by, behold the man of Greece, condemned for you, the Lamb of God, for sinners slain, weeping to Calvary pursue. O thou dear suffering Son of God, how does thy heart to sinners move. Sprinkle on me thy precious blood. Help me to taste thy dying love. Hymn 688, tune St. Polycarp 405. be together from the most holy word of God, Psalm 107. Psalm 107. Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth for ever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul, and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God, and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass, and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression, and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord. These see the works of the Lord. These see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro, and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wits' end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness, and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders.
He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation, and sow the fields, and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. May the Lord be pleased to bless to us that portion of his most holy word, and grant all needed help now in prayer. O most kind and gracious God, once more thou hast spared our unworthy lives to gather in thy courts this evening hour. Thou hast not dealt with us as our sins deserve. In wrath thou hast remembered mercy. Ah, the day of grace has not ended. The door of mercy is not closed. And yes, we're still upon praying ground. Whilst there is life, there is hope. Oh, may it please thee. Show us what our need is. Show us our need, our desperate need, which is as a sinner. And may it please thee. Oh, that thou wouldest show us also the one that is needful. I without him perish must. And who is that one? Is it not Christ revealed, our hope of glory? To have Christ revealed to us in all his beauty, in all his offices, in all his fullness. Yes, that fullness that resides in Jesus our head, that ever abides to answer our need. All that fullness of thy salvation and the wondrousness of it, even unto the worst of sinners. Yes, the foulest sinner out of hell that lives to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. Oh, may we be brought to that where we have nothing in our hands to bring. We're brought to that place, emptied of self, stripped of anything of our own righteousness, and nothing in our hands to bring, but simply to thy cross to cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace, foul I to thee fountain fly, wash me, Saviour, ere I die. Oh, leave us not to depend upon anything of our own righteousness, which is as but a filthy rag in thy sight, an imperfect covering. But all that might be found in that day when we shall have to appear before the judge of all the earth, clothed upon with that robe of thy righteousness, to cover our shame and nakedness, to cover all our imperfections, all our sins and all our iniquities, and to be washed in the sin-atoning blood of the Lamb, that sin-atoning blood of the Lamb once slain. Oh, we think of the Passover, when thou didst institute the Passover, Ah, yes, and that instruction was given there. The sacrifice had to be made. And not only the sacrifice made, but the blood of the sacrifice had to be sprinkled upon the doorposts and the lintels of their dwellings. Oh, may we have that of thy precious blood, for thou art that perfect sacrifice. They were but types and shadows of that which was to come, those offerings of old. But thou art that one that gave thy life a ransom, as a Lamb of God once slain, in order to have that precious blood by faith, and to see it by faith sprinkled upon the doorposts and lintels of our heart. Ah, that place of safety. And so it was when the institute of the Passover was instituted. Thou didst say, didst thou not, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. But where there was not the blood, there was death, death in that dwelling. Oh, how solemn it was. But the mercy unto those that shouted that night in those dwellings, where, yes, that blood was sprinkled there upon the doorposts and lintels of those dwelling places, a place of safety. And so may it please thee, all that might view by faith the precious blood of the Lamb once slain as our place of safety, as we see it sprinkled upon our hearts, the doorposts and lintels there. Lord, I remember each one, and as we've come into thy courts this night, young or old or in between, Lord, thou knowest each one's need, each one's concern. Perhaps it is in those pathways of life where we prove, like the word declares, through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom, thorns also and thistles. And we find it is a pathway of trials and difficulties mountains and dark places and things hard to be understood. And find at times the adversary is at a right hand of resistance. Oh, we plead then to undertake for us each according to our need. Undertake and manage all by the way unto the end. And do remember our dear sister in the faith, Beryl, back in hospital again this night. Lord, remember her there in all the pain and discomfort that attends her path at this moment of time. Oh, do grant unto her, we plead, those healing mercies and restoring mercies, if it could please thee. Give wisdom and knowledge and understanding to those that deal with her case there. And we're thankful for the means for poor afflicted ones in our day and generation. And when we think of the older generation, those generations past, they did not have this afforded to them. The knowledge was not known then, but thou hast given men wisdom and knowledge and understanding, and those instruments and medications, we would seek thy blessing upon them. And so to remember her there, we plead, be unto her all that she feels the need. May she feel those everlasting arms of a comforter, and may she prove the good shepherd and bishop of her soul, that has borne her all the days of old, and has said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So we plead to grant her those comforts which only thou canst give. And remember especially this night, as it being a Sabbath night, and no doubt amidst the busy scenes there, oh, do grant a little quietness, we plead. A little quietness in our heart, even amongst the busy scenes. But remember each then, those that gathered here this morning, and each one that has gathered this night, and those that may have turned in, we plead for each and every one. Ah, their cases are all known to thee. And what a mercy when we prove that thou knowest all things. When we go up to thy house, when there's approving this, that thou hast gone before, and thou dost speak the word, and it comes in season to us, meets us in our path, and we prove that thou dost know all. Nothing is hidden from thee. I thought about Job this afternoon. Dear Job, that character recorded in thy word. Ah, what a deep and dark path was his. It seemed as if one thing after another no doubt would have caused that measure of natural distress. But all he is brought to that place, ah, yes, low at thy feet. Yes, although he could acknowledge the hand of God in it all, yet as that path went on, it brought him to that season when it was darksome. It was darksome. And he could not perceive thee upon his right hand or left, behind or before. Oh, how dark it was. And yet, in the midst of all that, he could say this. And was it not living faith? A living faith within. Though damped, it could not die. He could say then, he knoweth the way that I take. And when he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Or perhaps one or another know what it is to have a very tried path, tried circumstances. Times to feel the way is turned upside down. Things are brought to naught. But O Lord, we have to prove this, do we not, sometimes? Or many a time, that our thoughts are not as thy thoughts, and neither are our ways as thy ways, but all thy ways are past finding out. And even this one, as we stand up in thy name, yes, our carnal reasoning and our carnal thoughts in a matter are quite different from what thou hast, and thy thoughts are towards us. But what a mercy when we prove in our pathway perhaps our schemes and our plans and our ways turned upside down, but we're brought to this. I know the thoughts that I think toward you. They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. All thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. But all we prove, do we not, this? When thou dost turn things upside down, when thou dost perhaps bring affliction upon our loins, or this or that comes into the path as thou dost appoint it so, according to thy sovereignty, or brings us to this, even as we've read that psalm this night, then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. They cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And if we didn't have troubles and sorrows and afflictions and difficulties, will we ever cry unto thee? We'll find our prayers will become very formal. We'll find we could pray, but it wouldn't come from the heart. It would be just from the lip. We'll soon become, rich and have need of nothing if our path was always smooth and unruffled, and no troubles or trials or afflictions. But it must be troubles and trials. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. But then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles, and the Lord heard and answered and delivered. All the mercy of it, when we prove thy loving kindness in it all, when we prove that we're not forsaken, not cast off, that the Lord is at hand. Oh, the Lord is at hand. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And so we plead to remember us here this night. Remember one that, dear to those circumstances regarding his wife, dear friend and brother in the ministry, Michael. Lord, remember him and his path, and especially his dear one in a time of affliction. Lord, do undertake for them, go before them, and do grant in due time, if it could please thee, according to thy good pleasure, that relief might be obtained and healing mercies granted. And so, Lord, we plead for them there at Southampton in their pathway. Lord, any others in their afflictions? Ah, yes, afflictions. They're grievous to our flesh. They're grievous, are they not? We don't want afflictions. But all must come, as a hymn writer put it, all must come and last and end, as shall please our heavenly friend. Remember us here then as a little cause of truth, church and people. Undertake for us in all things, manage all by the way unto the end. Do yet build us up according to thy most holy faith. Yes, we plead. Thou knowest where thy dead elect are. Put forth thy mighty hand and arrest this one and that one in their mad career. Bring them in like those Greeks of old with us, sirs, we would see Jesus. Give me Christ or else I die. Bring back the prodigals. Bring back the wayward. Bring back the rebellious. Or bring back those that have left thy courts past many years ago. They've gone away from thee as far as sheep can run, as the servants of the Lord in times past used to speak. But thine arm is not short and it cannot save, even unto the uttermost. Bring them back yet, smiting upon their breasts, crying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And so we plead for our little cause of truth here, both in the spiritual part of it and the practical part of it. And remember our dear brother at the desk and all those things which pertain to those many things that have to be seen to and attended to. Lord, give him strength sufficient for the day, and his dear one also. Lord, remember we plead then each of the gatherings together thy people this night. Oh, may it please thee, might thy word go forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and accomplish that whereto thou hast sent it. Oh, the work is thine, the power is thine. And so we plead, also remember this guilty land and nation. We've turned thee the back and not the face. We sin against light and knowledge. Evil is called good and good is called evil. The law is slacked. But oh, we plead, do yet turn the heart of those that have the rule over us. May there be yet a repealing of those laws which are contrary to thy laws. May it be once said of this nation, righteousness exalted the nation. Was it not so? But now, because of sin, we are a reproach. Ah, we are a reproach to the nations round about us. But O Lord, we plead, do yet turn us once again, and we shall be turned. But we thank thee for thy mercies toward us still. We look back over the past months, and thou didst grant us seed time. Thou didst grant a harvest, and there's food for both man and beast. Oh, we thank thee for these mercies. And can we not each say, concerning our own paths, thy mercies and thy favours are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. We've lacked nothing. But oh, we live in a day of much uncertainty. We live in a day when perhaps things can change in a moment. But oh, art thou not the same yesterday, today and forever? And thou hast said in thy word, the gold and silver are thine, and the cattle upon 1,000 hills. And as thou hast provided for thy saints down through the ages, thou wilt provide for them till thou dost come again. Oh, I often think of one recorded in thy word, in that time when he had to, under thy command, go down to the brook Cherith, and thou didst command the ravens to feed him there. Those unclean birds, as a hymn writer put it, would rather rob him than feed him. But according to thy command, so it was. In the morning and the evening, there was a sufficiency for him. Until the brook dried up. And then another unlikely source to go and dwell with that widow woman and her son. And oh, there she was going out to gather a few sticks that day, to have a fire and to bake one last cake for her son and herself, and to lay down and die. Such was the dearth in the land. And the prophet said, bake me first a cake, and then for thyself and thy son. The barrel of milk shall not waste, nor the crucible fail, until the rain, descend the rain upon the earth again, till the rain does come again upon the earth. And so it was. The barrel of milk did not waste day after day. The three of them there proved it so, until thou didst once again send the rain upon the earth. Thou art the same yesterday, today and forever. Oh, what a mercy then, if we prove thee to be our refuge and strength in all times, things concerning time and eternity, providence and grace. We would prove thee to be a helper of the helpless, one that supplies our need, one that lifts up our weak hands and confirms our feeble knees, one that light that shines in our darkness, one that makes the mountains flow down at thy presence. Oh, that refuge, a very present help in trouble. Often think of that psalm which thou hast left on record for us, Psalm 46. Oh, may we each prove it in our day and generation, according to our need. So we plead now for thy help this night. Favour us round thy word. Give that door of utterance unto this poor sinner. And bless us each together. Do us each good. And send an empty away. I'm but the instrument, the messenger sent forth thy message. And so we plead, O grant that to speak. Pour in that we may pour out. There may be a portion for seven and a portion for eight. Pardon and forgive now our many sins and our failings and our shortcomings. Wash us each in thy precious sin atoning blood. We plead for Christ's sake. Amen.
The notices for the opening week are that, God willing, Mr. Bernard Burgess will preach here on Tuesday evening, and next Lord's Day there will be a read address during the prayer meeting and a read sermon during the morning service, and Mr. Marcus Funnell is engaged to preach during the evening service. And that is a day appointed for our monthly collection. May we now be helped to continue our worship singing together in hymn number 95. Hymn 95. The tune will be Tremelin number 250. And did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprise in mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. He took the dying traitor's place, and suffered in his stead. Poor man, O miracle grace, for man the Saviour bled. Hymn number 95, tune Tremelin 250.
open your prayerful attention, we turn to the psalm we read, Psalm 107. Psalm 107, and we'll read the last verse, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Psalm 107, verse 43. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. We try to speak this morning from that portion in the Hosea's prophecy. And that verse there in that 14th chapter, I will heal their backsliding, I will love them freely, for mine anger is turned away from him. And that same chapter closes, does it not, in a similar manner to the psalm we've just read, who is wise, and he shall understand these things, prudent, and he shall know them. For the ways of the Lord are right, and the just shall walk in them, but the transgressors shall fall therein. That Psalm 107, as we read it tonight, it begins with the beginning of that work of grace, does it not? In the sinner's heart, yes, that this morning, as regards the whole Israel of God, and that which is at the beginning of that 14th chapter, O Israel, return unto the Lord thy God, for thou hast fallen by thine iniquity. Take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously. So will we render the calves of our lips. And so the psalmist in Psalm 107, the loving kindness of the Lord set upon a people that shall show forth his praise. They are the redeemed of the Lord. The redeemed of the Lord, those of every nation, kindred and tongue. Not because of who we are, a name we might bear, or a position we may have in the earth, but sinners. Sinners whom he hath loved with an everlasting love. They are those that the redeemed of the Lord. They shall all be redeemed in that time and manner. According to the mercy of God, they shall be redeemed from the hand of the enemy, saved from the wrath to come. As we said this morning, we're all sinners, yes. None of us in any way righteous, we may think we are. But in the eyes of God, none of us are righteous. We've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. And whether we know it or not, but when the Spirit begins that work in the heart, that is made known to them, their knowledge, the knowledge of their need as a sinner. As a sinner, conceived in sin, that which is of original sin, and that which is that sin which you and I have committed, our transgressions. And so it will be a burden to them. It will become burdensome. No light matter. But the Lord will find them out and begin that work in them. For the Lord has said, I know my sheep, and they shall hear my voice. He'll call them by name, and they'll be brought out of nature's darkness into that light and liberty of the gospel. Not that light and liberty for a start. No, they find they grope for the wall like the blind. They know not which way they take, but they're led along. They're led along. And so the Lord will, as those redeemed of the Lord, he shall redeem them from the hand of the enemy and gather them out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. And they are found then in a wilderness, Ah, the world unto us when we were unregenerate, still found as Satan's blind slaves, serving Satan. The world was that place of, well, opportunity perhaps, enjoyment. Ah, it was not a wilderness. It was not a wilderness. But under grace, when that work of grace is begun in the heart, that which we once took enjoyment in, ah, then becomes quite different to us, does it not? It then becomes a waste, howling wilderness, the world and all it has to offer, all its pleasures, they're just transitory, they will pass and perish with the using. Ah, yes, they'll all perish with the using. And so that one have found wandering in the wilderness in a solitary way. One here, one there, the Lord calls them, finds them out, puts into their heart that hunger and thirst after Christ and His righteousness. The Spirit's work, it's not left to the man. The Holy Spirit works in their heart mightily. Then they cried unto the Lord. Soul trouble, hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Ah, this is that which is real. This is not something which is of notion, but it is something which is known and felt. Hungering and thirsting is something which is not imaginary. You can try and imagine what hungering and thirsting is, but it's not like the real thing. And you and I have known those times of hungering, natural hungering and thirsting. It is painful. It is distressing. Do we know what it is then, to hunger and thirst after Christ and His righteousness? That's what is described here, hungry and thirsty. Their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, is that soul trouble? The burden of sin. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Those that are brought there, the Lord will not forsake them. The Lord will not leave them in that trouble. If it is that work of the Spirit, if it is that which is, yes, deeply wrought within, man may say he's sinned, and he may confess his sin and with the lip, and he, if it's not of the Spirit, he can soon forget all about it and go on his way as he was, still in that way of his old paths and doing that which he pleases. Yes, satisfying the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. But true hungering and thirsting, there's that change wrought. They see in and of themselves something which deserves an eternal death. For the soul that sinneth it shall die, the word declares. And under that sentence of death, eternal death, they hunger and thirst. They long for Christ. Oh, do you know a little of that, poor sinner? It's a mercy if you do. I know it's perhaps some might think it's strange language of heart. I believe it's one of heart's hymns. A sinner is a sacred thing. The Holy Ghost has made him so. Well, it's not the sins that are sacred, but that which is wrought in the soul, which is a sacred work, which is a work of God, whereby that sinner realizes his need, and it is then burdensome to him, and he's brought to see his desperate state, and he knows what it is then to begin to groan under that burden. That is how our heart describes it, not the sins being a sacred thing, but that which is a work of God through the operation of the Holy Spirit within that one that was once dead in trespasses and sins. A sinner is a sacred thing. the Holy Ghost has made him so. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And so, do we know anything of that distress? Distress of soul. We can have many burdens and cares of time. And yes, they are real in their place. They have their place in our lives. There's nothing greater than soul trouble. I can look back to that time when the Lord burdened my soul. Yes, I thought I prayed before. But that which I prayed for, when I look back now, was no better than seeking to make a name for myself in the earth, to build castles here below, nothing more than providence, the pathway of life. But oh, when that burden of sin was realized and felt, then those things, yes, even those lawful things, were not forgotten, but they were not the most needful thing. They were not the most needful thing. They went right down, if I can put it in that way, on the list of necessities, and even forgotten about, as it were. At times, such was the burden of sin. Perhaps you come up to the house of God this night, and it is this, with this burden I begin. Lord, remove this load of sin. Or does your sin burden you? Ah, yes, it is no light thing. Some can speak of sin and speak of it very lightly, almost dismissively, as if it doesn't, it's no real consequence to it. But under that burden of sin, there's that groaning, there's that heaviness felt, and yes, there's that knowledge of one that will not at all acquit the wicked, which is Almighty God. In that day of judgment, he will not acquit the wicked. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Ah, do you know anything then of that, where you find that burden is so real? You cannot go long in the day, and you find you groan and cry unto the Lord, have mercy upon me. Have mercy upon me. Show me thy salvation. Speak the word only. You long for realities, divine reality. Ah, plead on, poor sinner. Plead on, poor sinner. That day will come when you'll prove like the psalmist declared here. He delivered them out of their distresses. That time appointed when the Lord does speak. When the Lord does speak peace and pardon into the soul. There's nothing like it. Yes, compared to all the blessings of time, there's nothing like when the Lord speaks peace and pardon into the soul. When he reveals himself to you. Even as a hymn we had just now. That hymn has been made precious to this poor sinner. And may you likewise prove it, whereby you can say it is a truth. As Anne Steele, the hymn writer there, penned those words, and did the holy and the just, the sovereign of the skies, stoop down to wretchedness and dust, that guilty worms might rise. It was so. What a condescension it was. The eternal Son, taking upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, but made under the law. Made under the law, yes, in that way, made under the law, so that he could stand in the sinner's room place instead. by the offering of himself once and for all as that perfect sacrifice. Yes, the hymn writer put it like this: not all the blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars slain could atone for one sin. Ah, and how much was shed in those days of old, in the days of the Levitical priesthood. How much was shed, but it couldn't atone for one sin. But it pointed to that which was yet to come: Christ, the eternal Son. Ah, yes, in that condescension, as we said just now, taken upon himself that body and nature like unto our own, yet without sin, to give his life a ransom. That's a sinner's hope. Ah, yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. Without the shedding of blood, poor sinner, there is no remission of sin, but the precious blood of Christ. All that sin atoning blood cleanseth from all sin and all iniquity. All hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Cried unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. Ah, what a mercy then when he leads them forth for that right way. That right way, which is looking alone unto Jesus. Ah, that one is able to save even unto the uttermost all that come unto him. Yes, the uttermost sinner, the most deep-dyed sinner. They're brought to that place. They are brought to venture on him. And venture wholly and let no other trust intrude. The Spirit works that in their heart. They cry unto the Lord in their trouble. And he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth for the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation, that right way, which is in and through Christ. Well, Christ spake like this, that he is a door into the sheepfold. The many that come in some other way, as those thieves and robbers. But that right way is through Christ, who is the door into that sheepfold. And he'll bring them in through there. The Spirit will bring them in through there. Ah, yes, they will be brought to look upon one whom they have pierced. That's a wonder when that poor sinner, even as we read in Zechariah's prophecy, that precious chapter in Zechariah's prophecy, do we know anything of that whereby we can say, yes, there's been that crying unto the Lord, crying unto the Lord in soul trouble, and hungering, thirsting after him. Well, what do we read in Zechariah, in the 12th chapter there, in the 10th verse? Well, we read this: and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplication. Oh, grace and supplications. That's prayer. That's spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced. Now look upon the Lamb of God once slain. Yes, the Lamb of God once slain. That stood in their room, place and stead. That truly gave his life a ransom. Oh, you read of the sufferings of Christ in the Garden of Gethsemane. The hymn writer put it like this: those sufferings which were so intense that angels have no perfect sense. Those sufferings were such he sweat as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground. Such was his agonies. as he began to enter into those sufferings, bearing the sin of many. Bearing the sin of many. Oh, he cried out thus, did he not? Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. That cup of the wrath of God, which was being poured out upon him there. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. And he's brought to this. Ah, yes, he was strengthened in it all. Because he came to do his Father's will. Ah, yes, and it was bound up in this, greater love hath no man than this, and a man laid down his life for his friends. Nevertheless, not my will but thine be done. And then, as he is hung upon the accursed tree, made a curse for his people, he had to bear the hiding of his Father's face. We cannot comprehend it. But this is the Lord of life and glory. This is one that, yes, the eternal Son that ever was with the Father, brought up with him daily his delight. You read of it in the Proverbs. Daily his delight. Brought up with him. One that, yes, formed the earth and all that is within and without in that way of creation. And now bearing the hiding of his Father's face. And what darkness it must have been in his soul. Yes, that darkness came over all the earth, did it not? It was seen by those round about, but what it must have been in his soul, that darkness there. That eternal darkness on account of our sins, the sins of his people. He bore it. But it caused him to cry out again, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But he's brought to that point when he then cried out, it is finished, it is finished. Ah, the mercy of it then, the wonder of it. Yes, the Redeemer left his throne, his radiant throne on high, surprising mercy, love unknown, to suffer, bleed and die. He took the dying traitor's place and suffered in his stead. For man, O miracle of grace, for man the Saviour bled. Dear Lord, what heavenly wonders dwell, and what a heavenly wonder it is in thy atoning blood. Yes, coming back to that, I believe we quoted it in, or spoke, mentioned it in prayer, concerning the Passover when it was instituted. Ah, this pointed to that in that day, pointed to that which was to come, which Christ wrought by the shedding of his own heart's blood. When I see the blood, I'll pass over you. Ah, that atoning blood, when that poor sinner is washed in the blood of the Lamb once slain. As we'll hope in that blood, that sin atoning blood, that which flowed from his riven side, and as the hymn writer put it, the blood and the water that came forth there, to be of sin the double cure, to cleanse me from its guilt and power. Dear Lord, what heavenly wonders dwell in thy atoning blood. By this are sinners snatched from hell and rebels brought to God. Rebels. Ah, do you feel yourself then to be that one as a rebel? Out of the way. Ah, yes, out of the way. The most deep-dyed of sinners. Often quoted in prayer, but we often quote it in these lines, the foulest sinner out of hell, the lift to feel his need is welcome to the throne of grace, the Saviour's blood to plead. And so they're brought into that right way. that narrow way which leadeth unto life. They're brought and led along as those sheep in Christ's fold. And the shepherd goes before his sheep, but all the time hastens on. But you read that psalm again, and each one brought into that way, that living way, that way of salvation. They're brought in through into the door of the sheep, into the sheepfold through the door which is Christ, and that is done for them. They shall know what it is all the days of their life to cry unto the Lord in their times of trouble, times of distress, times of great need. It won't end there, beginning of that work of grace. The world has its troubles. The world have their troubles. And so do we. But oh, when we were dead in trespasses and sins, we knew nothing of the throne of grace, the mercy seat. But oh, we trust under grace, the favour there to those brought into this narrow way, brought into that way which leads unto life. As we see, we have no continuing city here, but we seek that which is to come, that heavenly city. That heavenly city. There is that path which has to be walked out here below. That path with all its cares, all its trials and tribulations. That refuge. You'll have need of that refuge. The world knows nothing of that refuge. We knew nothing of it. In fact, probably in that way we had no need of it. We thought we could manage. We thought we could overcome this by our own ingenuity or strength or wisdom. But oh, see, weaken your strength in the way. See, weaken your strength in the way. Blessed be God if he has. For it must be this. Who is this that cometh up out of the wilderness? Leaning upon her beloved. And who is the beloved? Is it not the Saviour? Yes, the one that is made precious to you. The one you once despised and set his name at naught. Yes, despised and rejected him. But now, under grace, precious indeed. And when we think upon that one that condescended, when we think upon that one that condescended, yes, he took that body and nature like unto your own and mine, yet without sin. He knows your feeble frame and remembers that you are but dust. And how that has been a word, is it not? A precious truth unto some of us in our times of trial and tribulation, that there is that one that understands our case, that's now ascended on high, having, yes, satisfied the law in every jot and tittle, having pleased the Father by the offering of himself. And what the law demanded, Christ has paid. The debt that you and I, if we're found amongst those inhabitants of Zion, is paid. The debt of our sins, our iniquities, is now ascended on high and waits to be gracious. That's a mercy. That's a comfort in this veil of tears. There is that one that waits to be gracious. This same dear man, yes, that hymn 23 comes to my mind. But oh man, there is a real man, with wounds still gaping wide, from which rich streams of blood once ran in hands and feet and side. 'Tis no wild fancy of our brains, no metaphor we speak. The same dear man, this is the man of God, one verily God and verily man. Yes, now ascended, waits to be gracious. This wondrous man, of whom we tell, is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price his own heart's blood. That human heart, he still retains the wonders of it. That one that's brought out of nature's darkness, out of Egyptian bondage, if we put it in that way, that spiritual bondage, as Satan's blind slave, they're brought out of it into that narrow way which leadeth unto life. The Lord has heard their cries, and sweetly leading them along, there's those manifestations of his love and his mercy through the lattice of the gospel. They shall find conflict and warfare and troubles and trials. It all attends a path. Through much tribulation ye shall enter the kingdom. But the mercy is that wondrous man of whom we tell, who is true Almighty God. He bought our souls from death and hell, the price his own heart's blood. That human heart he still retains. He knows your path and mine, knows your sorrows and mine. He knows what your temptations are. Yes, he was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. There is in Paul's epistle to the Hebrews. The fact that one is there and ascended on high and admits your temptations. Call upon him in that day of temptation. Call upon him that day of trouble. Has a feeling for us in all our infirmities. Was tempted in all points like us, we are yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly under the throne of grace. We may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. The throne of grace. That's where, yes, it's a place of prayer. And prayer is appointed, as a hymn writer put it, prayer is appointed to convey blessings God designed to give by prayer and supplications. And is unto that one that knows all about you, knows your frame, knows your temptations, remembers that you are but dust, as we said a little earlier. That human heart he still retains. Though throned in highest bliss, and feels each tempted member's pains, for our afflictions his. Afflictions, well, that's trials, tribulations, difficulties. Yes, it can be afflictions of the body and of mind and soul. But whatever that pathway is, an afflictive pathway is when things are not how we naturally like them. Cause us much distress and anxiety and pain at times, and much fearing. It's in those times when that poor sinner is in able to cry unto the Lord. Then the Lord speaks of fear not. And blessed be God when it is such a fear not as this one. Fear thou not, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy God. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I'll help thee. Yea, I'll uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. Come then, repenting sinner, come. Approach with humble faith. O what thou wilt, the total sum is cancelled by his death. His blood can cleanse the blackest soul and wash our guilt away. He will present us sound and whole in that tremendous day. But the Psalm 107 then goes on many a time. Then they cried unto the Lord. Then they cried unto the Lord. But do we ever see them forsaken? Do we ever read there the Lord did not hear and answer and deliver? No. It's according to his promise. Is it not, as we read in the Word of God, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Long with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And sometimes, yes, such is the path we find, like we read in that psalm, he commandeth. He commandeth the stormy and raiseth the stormy wind. Ah, the path of a child of God. My mind went this afternoon as I was at Brabourne to dear Job, but there are those accounts of various saints of old that knew what stormy winds were. Their paths, very tried paths. But were they forsaken? No. Thought again also this afternoon of Jeremiah in his day. You read that in his Lamentations. And that which, yes, naturally in a way he complained of there as it came forth from his lips. But in the middle of that book of the Lamentations, he's brought to this. The Lord will not cast off forever. But though he cause grief, yet will he have compassion according to the multitude of his mercies. For he doth not afflict willingly, nor grieve the children of men. And also in that same chapter, in the Lamentations, he could say this in the midst of all that which he lamented over, that caused him to groan in spirit. It is the Lord's mercies were not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Could even come to this, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Yes, even in the midst of his troubles and sorrows. Ah, when, as we read this evening, he commandeth and raiseth a stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wit's end. Oh, I believe, dear old Jeremiah, the weeping prophet, knew a little of that. And perhaps Job could say he knew a little of that also. Jacob could say a little, no doubt he could come in with a little of that. Likewise, he could say this, all these things are against me. Ah, Jacob knew what it was to wrestle with his God. He proved, had he not, wrestling prayer can wonders do, bring relief in deepest straits. Prayer can force a passage through iron bars and brazen gates. And so when the Lord's people at times there's a stormy winds, everything seems to be contrary. Well, you read the account of Jacob. There was that which he feared of his concerning his brother Esau, who was coming out against him with 400 armed men. And what a night of trembling, no doubt it was, yet crying unto the Lord. And he wrestled with his God until the break of day. And he's brought to this, I will not let thee go except thou bless me. The Lord heard and answered him. Ah, yes, and that deliverance was wrought, was it not? When Esau came, that which David feared was not to be. Ah, not David, that which Jacob feared was not to be. Jacob feared it. And he trembled at the thought of Esau and his 400 armed men. No doubt, naturally thinking they could have destroyed him, taken all that he had. But ah, that wrestling prayer, cried unto the Lord in their trouble. Oh, have you got troubles and trials in your life? Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. You got things which seem as if, yes, they're impossibilities. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Ah, when you consider the Lord made the heavens and the earth. Yes, He made the heavens and the earth. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, and should it be His good pleasure, the Lord can do those wonders whereof poor sinful man is made glad. And certainly Jacob that day, or that following day when Esau was to come to meet him, the Lord had changed his heart, taken out that heart of anger, and gave him that heart of loving kindness, that they fell upon each other's necks and kissed each other and wept together, did they not? I believe this is the same God that the psalmist declares of here in Psalm 107. But they will to and fro. Sometimes, yes, that is a path. Commandeth the stormy wind, lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. When you think of something being melted, it is fairly unstable, is it not? Runs this way and that way. Perhaps you find your thoughts run this way and that way. Simply nothing solid at all. Nothing that remains in one place. It can run from this place to the next. And your thoughts go likewise. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man and are at their wits' end. The old servants of the Lord often spoke of wits' end corners. Don't hear it in their day. But I believe the true child of God will know a little of those wits' end corners. Whereas the margin reads it, all their wisdom is swallowed up. No hope in themselves, no help in themselves. But they still cry unto the Lord. The Spirit enables them. Gives us enlargement of heart. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. When the poor sinner, like it was with Jacob, the Lord was better to him than all his fears. Yes, Jacob's fears were very real. And had not that hand been upon Esau, or Almighty God, Esau could have done the worst to Jacob. But it's not to be so. And yet that fear was there, and the reality that it could have taken place. But by the intervention of Almighty God, the Lord heard his prayer. The Lord heard his prayer and granted that deliverance. And so that psalm closes, does it not? Whoso is wise. When the poor sinner in his pathway can look back that time the Lord took him in hand, wrought in his heart effectually that work of grace, that truly changed his heart and renewed his will and turned his feet to Zion's hill, brought him to true repentance and godly sorrow over sin, a little hope in his mercy raised up. Those views by faith through the lattice of the gospel of a precious Christ as their hope. They prove that path. The path of prayer. To mercy indeed. As I said earlier, the world knows nothing of it, neither did we. But under grace, there is his favour. There is his blessing. This place, is it not that refuge? Yes, I believe I quoted it in prayer, but that precious Psalm 46. That precious Psalm 46. May we each prove it in our day and generation, younger ones as older ones also, and down to the end of the time. I believe the saints of old proved it, and certainly Jacob proved it. Job proved it. Jeremiah proved it. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof. And this is that river of mercy, whereby when that poor sinner cries unto Almighty God in his need, in his time of trouble, he proves that river of mercy, the river of his grace, will never dry up. It will never dry up. For though the waters are of roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God. Oh, have you proved it in measure? Perhaps you've yet to prove it. Each one will prove it. Ah, yes, those that are brought to cry and groan before the Lord, there is a river. The streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. There's a promise, they shall make glad. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her. And that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted, the Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Whoso is wise. Yes, what a mercy we have been able to come thus far and look back to those Ebenezer stones, those stones of help. Been able to say, hitherto hath the Lord helped us. As we look back to those stones of help, those Ebenezer stones, it might give us an encouragement. He who hath helped us hitherto will help us all our journey through and give us daily cause to raise new Ebenezers to his praise. To look back over life's path, whether it has been short or long, as the Lord has begun that work in each one. To notice and take note of this when we look back and see the loving kindness of the Lord in the land of the living. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Yes, the loving kindness of the Lord to unworthy sinners. Yes, to unworthy sinners. Love with an everlasting love. That love that cannot withdraw, cannot change, and will not forsake them. Amen.
Let us conclude by singing together hymn 732, June Haslingdon 544. Indulgent God, how kind are all thy ways to me, whose dark benighted mind was enmity with thee. Yet now, subdued by sovereign grace, my spirit longs for thy embrace. Preserved in Jesus, when my feet made haste to hell, and there should I have gone, but thou dost all things well. Thy love was great, thy mercy free, which from the pit delivered me. Hymn 732, June Haslingdon, 544.
bless that which is of Thee. Oh, may it go forth, Thy word, in the power of the Holy Spirit, and accomplish that whereto Thou hast sent it. Oh, we plead then Thy forgiving mercy over anything Thou hast heard and seen amiss. Cover it the mantle of Thy forgiving love. And do remember us each now as we journey once again to our homes and return to those things, if spared on the morrow, those things of the pathway of life. Oh, may we know what it is to commit our way unto Thee and prove the Lord is at hand and not afar off. Then they cried unto the Lord in their troubles. Oh, may we prove even as Jacob did in his day. Ah, no doubt that is how the psalm come about, happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God. And so we have those paths of time which thou hast appointed for us. But those cares, especially concerning our never dying soul and need of sinners. Oh, may we now have been able to look unto thee. One who is able to do for a poor sinner more than they can ask or even think. Or even unto the worst of sinners. Yes, did not the Apostle Paul declare this? He declared of sinners of whom he was chief. But he also declared this, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Oh, the abundance of thy grace, thy mercy. Lord, do thou grant journeying mercies to us each. Once again, remember Beryl where she is in the hospital bed. Comfort her heart there. And do be unto her all that she feels to need. And once again, do remember Michael and Jean. Especially Jean. Lord, we plead for her. But plead for them both. But each of us now, as we now leave thy courts, convey us in thy peace. And in that safety we plead. And now may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest and abide with us each, now and forevermore. Amen.